do this?
Well, I guess we have to. No one is going to do it for us.
The ball. Yeah, some weeks more than others too.
Do it yourself, because nobody else will do it yourself.
Where to begin?
Dripping Balls, a music podcast.
Why is that saying Hockey Dad at the top of my playlist? That's not what I want.
It's not ever what you want. Although we have had a very hockey-themed fucking couple of weeks with actual Hockey Dad followed by music picked from hockey podcasts and music picked from hockey-related comedy shows.
Does the Stanley Cup have a theme song?
Its theme song is basically people being drunk in Canadian around it, I think.
Anyway, vamp away, Doc. Where are we starting?
Should we start with Joywave, given the hockey influence? And given that, for those who missed it last week, I picked this band based on them contributing a theme song to a hockey podcast I like. And nothing on this album sounds anything like what they did.
No.
Anything like their interesting, jangly theme song for the podcast. This felt, you know, I mean, this is another not very, this was a Joker, and it's not another not very Jokerific Joker, although it does have a few more jagged edges than Hockey Dad, but very polished and stylized ones, like a really expensive serrated knife. It's kind of Coldplay, Maroon 5, mass-produced adult contemporary pop, really.
But, like, even, like for all Coldplay's ills, the dudes can write a song that you want to hum, right? Like, it actually has an earworm.
I'd refuse to accept that under any circumstance.
Well, that has a much more earworm quality to it. Was there anything that even qualifies as an earworm in this?
Some kind of parasite? Maybe, yeah, I was going to say. So, if only that was interesting as their song titles. I thought that'd be funnier. I thought that'd be more interesting. They're just not. They're not fucking. The most interesting thing about them is it remains the fact that they listen to Buck Soup. I guess they're not another Brooklyn indie band, but they're not from Brooklyn. They're from Rochester, which is a different part of New York. It's upstate, near the lakes. So that's way different.
I listened to this once, teed it up this afternoon to listen to it again, and looked at it and went, you realize you actually have listened to this once. You don't have to listen to
you
it
You have
again.
Fulfilled the contractual obligations surrounding this piece of music.
And so I did not. I did not listen to it again.
I vote we leave hockey-related music alone for a bit, because we haven't had a great run, either with hockey in the title or hockey, you know, in the sort of thematic surrounds.
All right. Fu Manchu. Now, this I found this really interesting in that Ray and I and sort of by proxy, Hilo and Curtis have all been listening to a lot of grunge in the last couple of weeks. This seems a bit more akin to, I don't know whether hair metal's the right word, but a bit more of a cock rock sort of vibe than a grunge sort of vibe. Is that historically inaccurate? Like, where do they sit?
They created a genre for this stuff. They and Caius built Desert Rock, and it's exactly Desert that rock. Idea. Wait, is which? That we're using grunge instrumentation, big muff pedals and shit, but we are doing much more bluesy riffage, fucking, I'm not going to sing about how my dad makes me sad. I'm just going to sing about fucking drag racing and motocross bikes and space explosions and fucking cool shit. And basically, because the weed must be better in Southern California than it is in the Northwest. That's basically all I can conclude. So basically, it came into being at around the same time. If you look at when Caius and when, I suppose, Grunge might have been slightly earlier. But it's basically, let's just do massive fuzzy riffs and sing dumb shit about fucking doing BMX stunts. And I wish I'd discovered this shit in period, because this is so much more fun than grunge.
The funniest thing today was we're driving along and Raylan's like, this song, what's it about? And so Hilo reads the title. It's about a Loch Ness wrecking machine, right? I'm just like, well,
probably
yes,
about
okay.
The Loch Ness Monster.
I just found this sort of stupid fun with big riffs.
This fucking ruled. I loved it. This is very much my areas. And they're 30 plus years into their career and they can still, you know, shift air with big muff pedals. And that's kind of the point.
And it still had the energy of a band that would sound awesome live. Like,
yeah.
You know, like, your Foo Fighters and what, like, a lot of those rock-based bands can sort of peter out into adult contemporary. There is no way that you could say this is petering out into adult contemporary. The adult in question is mentally 13.
Yes. Hello? That's me. Mm. Yes, there's nothing fucking... No exploration of the feelings in this bullshit. No, fuck off. We're just having fun. That's what it's here for. So, I absolutely love this. I don't know where it ranks in the great pantheon of Fu Manchu albums. I don't know where it ranks in the great pantheon of 2024 albums. But I loved it. So, I'm not a good judge.
So, I have got the... I'm not sure whether you had a listen to it today or not, the Troy Kingy single from the new album.
I heard it a couple of weeks ago if it's the same one. And this is the one that he did out in the desert, out in the Southern California desert, out in the Joshua Tree desert, it's the one on the cover. It looks like a skate video. It looks like the cover of a skate video, which I think is the point. I mean, Fu Manchu, I think my first exposure to them would have been skate videos and surf videos. And you can certainly feel, though, any one of those riffs, you could imagine that soundtracking somebody going fucking sick in a street park or a half pipe.
Yeah. I was pretty excited after listening to that one on headphones. I'm like, oh yeah, this is a shift, right? This is not a slight change in degrees from...
He's moved on to the next thing.
He's definitely moved stylistically a big jump. And it also sounds like...
I never went back and really dug into his older stuff. I didn't go back and just... Because he did a blues album and he did a... You know, did some various other... I haven't really dug back in to sort of see what that was like.
But this sounds like it'll be kick-ass. I'm pretty excited about this one. Anyway, we'll see. You never know.
Release date for that?
I think it's like August 19 or something.
Okay.
I did throw it in my calendar because it's released on a Monday, so it'll be one of those ones where we can either, hold off and pick it the next week or just pick it knowing that it'll come live before the podcast posts.
I think you'd want a full week with it.
Well, you will. You'll get a full week because it'll be one day and then you'd get it. It's out on a Monday morning. So you'd only miss the Sunday, depending on what day we potted. I'm really interested to see what he'll do to play around in that same space that we were just talking about before. I think that'll be pretty cool. All right. What have we got left? What have we got left?
We've got your friend, coach of the New York Knickerbockers, Tibbs.
So,
this did not feel like anything. Well, Tom Thibodeau does dress like the sort of person who would like this sort of music. You know, he often has his hair brilled cream back.
Yeah, who would go out to a bar.
Can you think about that, the short-term swing revival of the late 90s, early 2000s. We lived through that. It was based on the movie Swingers, which is not the movie Singles, as we discussed last week. They were very different.
Very different vibes.
And I do recall there were people who got so into this, they basically built their whole personality around it, and I wouldn't trust anybody who did that. There was a swing club on... I've got this vague recollection. There was a swing club on Latrobe Terrace in Paddington that I got dragged to by a girl I was vaguely seeing. That's real turn-of-the-century shit, as they would say on Cinephobe. But yeah, so these guys are doing... 60s cosplay, very true to the period, very well done, but don't really have a second trick beyond that. It's kind of a sober Amy Winehouse is the vibe, perhaps. And the reason they're playing random venues in Holland is that they are Dutch.
Right.
And that's about all I have to say about them.
Well, so
you've reached the end of my research.
So my sort of vibe was I really like this type of music. But it was like eating a marshmallow. Sort of, it did something for me, but it just felt like empty calories. But there was only a couple of songs. I think
it was quite dry, wasn't it? It was a bit. It's probably more. It was probably more like dry biscuit than marshmallow because it was kind of. Yes, I can recognise what you're doing here, and you're doing it reasonably well. But there isn't much to it beyond that. There isn't really any greater depth.
Yeah, it's just. Wasn't anything that sort of made me want to, get up and jitter around. Like, it was enjoyable to listen to because I like that style of music. But I think of all the albums that I've listened to that have been influenced by that style of music, and they've all been a lot better. This sort of felt like a cover album, but a cover album of originals. I don't know if that makes sense. Like, it was just... like it's aping the style too closely, right? There's nothing sort of stirred into the pot to get it going. I don't know. There was just something a bit sterile about
it. It's the work of a really good covers band. Yeah, it's the work of a really good covers band. I suppose we can say that unlike other Dutch organisations recently, they didn't finish third in their group this week.
Yeah.
Thanks, Drone Wave.
No, this is definitely better than that. This didn't do for me what I was hoping. Anyway, we move on. There's always another one.
We do. We have one more week with you before you disappear off into World Cup duty. So what are you going to pick for this week?
Well, look, like going in the same style, and the only reason I'm picking this sort of stuff back to back is because I just really like this guy's last album.
Mm.
I've got a funny feeling that it might be one of those perfect circumstance albums, and that I'm not expecting this album to hit as well as the first one did. So this is Aaron Fraser's new album, which I have at number three, I think, last time.
I thought it was your album of the year.
Was it my album of the year? I knew it was very high.
I thought it was your album of the year. I could look it up, but that seems like too much work.
And it's one of those albums that still gets, along with Troy Kingy and Grey Area and, like, I sort of call it, my podcast favourites that just keep getting runs.
2021 album of the year.
All right. So, yeah, that was a while ago.
In the same year that I picked the Czarface MF Doom collaboration as my album of the year. It was post-COVID times. There was some weirdness. Album of the year. Let me have a quick check to see who has done the – because the last one I think was produced by Dan Auerbach, and this one has not. And he does not appear to be on the same record label either. So that's interesting.
So that might be the special sauce that's not there.
Or you might just go off him because it's the second time you heard. Actually, no, it is the same record label. It is the same record label. It's just that it was – and it was January 8, 2021. I think it was like the first album we did that year. But, so Dan Auerbach is not producing this one. That's the only main difference. A fellow called Alex Goose is.
He's also got a voice that I think runs a very fine line between enjoyable and annoying. Anyway, let's give it a go.
It sounds like a podcast review.
Yeah. Well, that's not a line we tread.
No. We certainly come down on more one side than the other, I expect, for most of our audience. I might go back to an act that we haven't done in a very long time, and that is Pond from Western Australia. These guys were...
I did see that there.
Collaborators and friends of your Tame Impalas and your King Gizzards. But they seem to be, like, when Tame Impala went down the pathway that they've gone down to produce, kind of dreary chamber pop, Pond seems to still be trying to make something closer to psych rock, more like, not quite, psychedelic porn crumpet style, amphetamine-laden lunacy, but definitely trying to do something that's a little bit more interesting. So I thought it might be time to check in again and see where Pond are up to.
Yeah, I did see that one. I thought that one looked pretty interesting. You got a joker.
Pond's new album was called Stung. You can have the joker because you're going to fuck off for a couple of weeks.
I did have a good joker, and then I listened to it and I was like, it's not actually I like it, but it's
what was that?
A lot of the same. And the Hermanos Gutierrez had a new album out, but it's essentially the same album.
Yeah, it's the same. Spanish guitar.
It's
fine.
It's lovely to listen to.
Yeah.
But, not.
You know what it's going to be.
Another one.
That's fair enough. I did see there was a. Who's that man? Who's that man? Old mate, fucking. We did this guy years and years ago. Nathaniel Rateliff and the Night Sweats album out.
Oh, okay.
I think we did one of his albums in like a million years ago. And I thought that's probably a good Bezo joker. I was kind of half expecting you to pick that.
I did have another one picked and I can't freaking find it. So, yeah, let's go with that. That sounds good. My Spotify does not seem to be playing nice with me.
In fact, it was so long ago. Oh, Christ. It couldn't have been the debut. Surely not. In fact,
I know that my
You know,
my live crew were very big on that band.
You know what I think you did? And this is hilarious, is that I think the album you picked was the debut, but they'd re-released it in 2016 as a deluxe edition. I think it might be one of the very first times you did that. It was like, well, this isn't actually a 2016 album. But the new album was called South of Here. And the Night Sweats are out here night sweating.
Well, that sounds better than Imagine Dragons.
I can't really remember what their vibe was. Was it kind of a little bit less Cletus-y Kings of Leon? What was kind of their vibe? Was it a little bit more kind of folk?
I think it was sort of bluesy bluegrass, wasn't it? Sort of in between, like a little bit more.
They claim to be one of the most recognisable new forces in contemporary rock and roll, but they are all wearing denim. Since 2015, Ratliff has led his denim-clad, horn-flanked night sweats. They sound like fucking Turbo Negro. Supplying the zeal of a whiskey-chugging Pentecostal preacher to songs about this world's shared race. So I think that probably sound a bit more like, probably a little bit Kings of Leon, a little bit fucking... Who was that Scottish band who did stuff that sounded like this, sounded like it should be on a Coen Brothers soundtrack? The guys who did the Sopranos theme song. Like they make song, they make music that does not fit their where they come from at all.
Oh, not Alabama 3.
Yeah, probably the Alabama 3.
That's them.
And Alabama 3.
The guys that did the theme song for Justified, which was like Cletus hip hop.
isn't that Kid Rock?
No, even more ironical, I think, than Kid Rock. I think Kid Rock's fairly up front.
Kid Rock either isn't in on the joke or secretly really isn't in on the joke, but he's really, really committing to the bit.
Where's got to find the name of this Justified music from the thing? They're called Gangsta Grass. And the song's called Long Hard Time to Come. It's actually a really good song, but it's just like... When you're calling yourself Gangsta Grass, like that's putting it out there. So anyway, I wonder if they've got a new album coming out. That'll be pretty funny. I've got a funny feeling that they don't. Oh, hang on. 2024. Gangsta Grass, the blackest thing on the menu.
this feels problematic. Well, at least
I've got my next.
You have a joker for when you come back.
Yeah, I got my next joker. Right. Actually, I've just added that to the wrong playlist. That's probably what I've been doing wrong. All right, Doc. I'll catch you next week, and then I will abdicate picking music for a while and just listen to
whatever happens.
And probably whatever's on the Philippines playlist. So that'll be that'll be a rough couple of weeks.
Yeah. You're telling me that the kids of today, their taste of music isn't really what you're looking for?
Let's just say that we differ in some ways.
Mm. Yeah, so they're not really queuing up to listen to the Tibbs or Humanas Roddy Gear Errors.
Or probably not even Fu Manchu, to be honest.
No, that's definitely dad music. It's not what the kids are into. I mean, if kids like riffs, it's more like your Dune Rat style riffs.
Or our mates up the sunny coast, what, the Chats?
Oh yeah.
No, not
although
the Chats.
I think
the Chats.
I think their audience is probably just as much old Gen X people as it is the youth.
The youth.
Yes.
Cool.
We don't speak to kids. We'll talk to you next week.
Catch you later.
Get us out of here, fuck's sake.
I'm going to have to pick up the joker. I was like, surely they're not still recording music. I've got enough about this year. And they're touring. They're touring. They've got like 25 dates. Oh, that's funny.
Got to get paid somehow.
Let's say, where's their buyer? We should have done Dockery's verse. Gangsta Grass is a dirty fighting, gator wrestling, foot stomping, genre busting, Billboard chart, Emmy nominated team of bluegrass hip hop pioneers.
Bluegrass hip hop pioneers.
Looks like they've only got two white guys in the band. It's a bit hard to tell whether the lead singer's white or not. So they got a black fiddle player and a black drummer, a white guitarist. Is that Dreads? Yeah, that's Dreads by the looks of it. Known for the theme song to the TV series Justified and for giving you hope about America's future.
Which is all well and truly gone. Since people have kind of worked out, this is how fucked we are. We're seeing the two fucking granddads dribbling.
Radical desegregation of roots music at a fundamental level.
That sounds Fine. You better write that down.
All right, dude, I'll put it in the right playlist now.
All right,
then. Let's see how that goes. All right, I'll catch you later.
Cheers, man.
See ya.
So next week we might we'll have to figure out a plan. But that can be a next week problem. A fucking Shepherd, they can eat my ass. It's the band, but ugh, they can fuck off.